Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents. This is your host, Jennifer Campbell. Today, I'm with Jessica and Andrew Pratt. How are you guys?
You're great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You're in upstate New York?
We're actually in Connecticut, but just over the border east of New York.
I was born and raised in Rhode Island, and then I went to high school in my first year of college in Vermont. So I was raised in your neck of the woods. My mother was born in Enfield, Connecticut, and my grandmother's in Nashua. So very familiar.
There we go. We're both from the Midwest originally. So somehow we both weaved our way out here, met in Brooklyn, and now live up in the woods of Connecticut with our two little kids.
I love that. That's awesome. I want you to share your journey on how you guys became parents.
Well, it was a long, winding one because for me personally, it's always been a very clear calling, mother. Like I felt that in my soul's purpose at a very young age, and I was ready to make that happen much sooner in life as a young woman. And part of that puzzle is finding the partner to join hands and do that with together. So I guess we should kind of start from like our meeting.
I love the meeting.
What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. We met at a loft party in Brooklyn, New York. It was just a magical beginning. I mean, the minute that I met Jessica, I knew there was something special about her, but I was definitely not at that point in my life where I was ready, where I was looking to settle down at all, let alone have children. So, I was exploring life in New York City but there was like, you know, this immediate connection where I saw this spark in her, and we joined a band together. So we were playing a lot of music in Brooklyn and doing all kinds of other things. I was doing a Brooklyn hustle life and playing music and going to acting gigs and like running dogs and like juggling that with real estate and a career that was starting in that regard. And she was an architect by trade.
Okay.
But also I was like bringing her into this like kind of bohemian lifestyle. And like, she was always a singer growing up, and I had two bands that I was in, and one of them was looking for a female singer, and I like brought her into that, and she became kind of this like, you know, superstar of a little underground scene that we were in.
But long story a little bit shorter, like Andrew kept telling me that I was his musical soulmate. And I was like, okay, cool. I like the soulmate part of this, because I was really, you know, this is like kind of return of Saturn, like late 20s era, where like most people around me where I grew up in the Midwest were already partnered and having children. And that was a big part of my vision. But I knew for some reason it was going to be more of a circuitous path for me. So when Andrew was calling me his musical soulmate, I was like, okay, I'm going to get on board with this. But like, really what I'm feeling in my heart is like, this is the partner, this is the man I'm going to have children with. And I have to just practice a lot of patience and be here for the ride. And it was quite a ride. But I guess it took us about 7 years from that point to when we had our baby, our first baby.
We got married. We went down to Peru. We did a lot of things in that time frame. But yeah, eventually, like I knew too that I wanted to have children, I would say, somewhere in the back of my mind. But I think I probably, you know, like a lot of guys, I just wasn't like, that wasn't at the forefront of anything that I was thinking about. And even after we got married, it was still something where I was like, I really want to make sure that we're ready, you know, that we've done everything that else that there is to do, that we need to do before having kids. You know, like I want to be financially, in my mind, I wanted to be like retired, you know, before.
Oh,
I had
yeah.
Kids.
That's a great plan.
Yeah. And in the meantime, so we actually, you know, we started and hatched a new business before we even got married, before we had our first child. And that business is now like really the center of our professional lives. And it's a home electronic vaginal steam seat. I've got one of those behind me right here, but
You guys
we
did that
hatched.
before kids?
Yes.
Well, we
Okay,
started it
no.
and
I know. So,
Like, how did you get into vaginal steam? Well, I mean, not like you can't use it outside of kids, but that's the most odd thing to me that you did that pre. I didn't realize that. So tell me about that.
I think a big part of it was, me trying to kind of force this more linear checklist out. Like, okay, I met the
Yes.
guy, we're going to get married, we're going to be doing all these things. I got my license as an architect. I started teaching professionally. I thought I'd like ticked all the boxes, but I was really like suffering from burnout and missing periods and then having irregular cycles where I was bleeding twice a month. Even before I met Andrew, I had this issue. And I think it was like this angst of trying to kind of jump ahead in what I knew I wanted. And I think it's like trying to shoehorn yourself into like this produce, produce, produce kind of lifestyle. And I was really becoming more unhealthy. So, in that journey of us kind of discovering our love and softening and slowing down, I was at some point along my journey, there's just so many things, but I ended up having to have a surgery to remove a uterine
Oh.
polyp. So that was part of my awakening to understanding the power and depth of our uterus and entire female anatomy and how much it's speaking to us in terms of what our body needs to feel healthy and balanced. And I knew I had to sort a lot of that out first before all the other pieces would fall into place. So anyway, I had to have the surgery, and not long after that, I was introduced to vaginal steaming at a women's circle in Brooklyn, New York in 2016.
As
And
one does. But it did feel like this fateful thing where I was like, wow, this is a modality that will help me kind of sit with this part of my body again. And it's kind of like this opportunity to reset and reconnect and really prepare for what it is that I'm calling in. And it's not going to happen in this more traditional way that I was trying to force on Yeah.
us, in a sense. And that's not the way we've operated or done anything, even in our coming together as husband and wife. So that was a big like pivotal point in our relationship and in my own healing and my own kind of understanding for what it is that we and I offer as parents to ourselves, I guess on some level,
Yeah,
before we can parents to our
but
children.
before being parents though, because this was before parenthood. It was
Right.
we were definitely like really serious at the time that we had that this idea came about. But she just came home from this women's circle and had this incredible experience from trying the practice out and doing it a few times. And I watched her do it at home, and it was like this really cumbersome thing where she was squatting over a pot, and it was hard for her to find a comfortable position. And immediately, at that time too, I was also in a very entrepreneurial mindset. I was always
Yes.
looking, really actively looking for new opportunities and really thinking deeply about, because I was a real estate broker and she was an architect, and we both had these jobs, right? But I felt that there was something like, there's something about this connection between us, and there's something that we needed to find that was going to be like our calling to give to the world. And I just really, when she showed me what she was doing with this vaginal steaming, it was kind of this light bulb moment where immediately I was like, there has to be a better way to do this.
Please,
And
please let there be a better way than squatting over a Dutch oven.
yeah,
Like,
and it was
yeah.
exactly. And it was, but she, it was so valuable for her too. And it was so profound, the experience. And it was like giving her this peace and this new level of comfort that like she had been missing in her life, and it was helping her recover from an invasive surgery. And I so
Yeah.
I, all of this stuff was happening, and I she's a really talented designer as an architect, so I was just like, there has to be a better way to do this, and you're an architect and a designer, you can design it, let's do it. And that was kind of the start of everything. And that was, yeah, that was before we got married, before we had children. And then, fast forward a couple of years, like we got married, she got pregnant. And I mean, our whole plan, we naively thought we would be able to do this process of developing this product. So we thought we're going to set out to do this. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. We want to make the best vaginal steam seat in the entire world. And that
Yep.
was just a whole thing. We did a couple of crowdfunding campaigns that were successful. We found manufacturers. I mean, we were just hacking our way through it. And, we thought we would be able to have, like, at that point, I was thinking, let's get this thing done and launched before we have any kids, because we're not going to be able to do this when we have kids. Well, fast forward a few years. I mean, we had two children before we actually brought this thing to the market.
But again,
So.
like the timing was all really serendipitous, because I think part of what I had to do in my own preparation, and even for us as a couple, kind of calling in this next rite of passage in our relationship, bringing children into the world, was being able to work with this practice for several years. So it was probably
Yeah.
3 years after I was introduced to it. So I had had like 3 years of regularly steaming. Usually, a few days after my period was ending, I would make it kind of like a monthly ritual. And then in part of our decision then to bring a child through, I personally used that as a way to connect with this part of my body, to kind of let myself know that this is what was going to be happening next. And in preparing to conceive, it was part of our own, I mean, obviously Andrew's not steaming as well, but even just steaming, before, after menstruation, before ovulation, to really like relax and soften this part of our bodies. Yes, it has a cleansing effect and there's more physiological things that are happening, but I really believe in the softening and full relaxation of our entire pelvic bowl and region to really properly receive in trying to conceive. And we had, I don't know, I think we had, for being of advanced maternal age at that point, I think that's also what like my mechanical
Oh
mind was trying to
no.
avoid, but there I was, a 36-year-old woman, or 37, I think, at the time that we actually got pregnant, and just really trying to dismantle all of the fear of, not being able to get this to happen in the right timing, because I've been wanting it for so long and like took us to this point. So anyway, all these pieces are like overlapping of us bringing this creation into the world. I think our Kickstarter campaign launched like 3 days before my daughter was born.
Perfect. Nailed the timing.
Yeah, it was
But
crazy.
yeah, I mean, we had.
Andrew's timing is out the window. Jessica, I have a question for you, because you're like this dichotomy to me. You're architect and checking the boxes. And look, I am probably closer to type A than any type of personality. Give me some goals. I'm a happy woman, right? And I love that. So I always tell people my husband's the nice one, because he's the more intuitive, kinesthetic. Like, he's just a sweeter personality. And it's not like I'm a Marine militant person and he's over here crying. There's definitely some more overlap, but I have a hard time tapping into relaxing and feeling and being more intuitive and letting things go and not being on a schedule. That's more, you seem like the same, but your pendulum seems even more than mine. Like, here we are over here scheduling and being an architect, and here we are over here being intuitive, and mine's here and yours seems here. How hard was that for you to breathe and let go of, like, to really lean in? Because then you're talking about advanced maternal age. Andrew's over here like, no, totally cool, I'm along for the ride, but I want it done before we have kids. So there's some timeline stuff and some intuition that I'm sure you guys needed to match up, that could be tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a process. And then for that reason, I'm grateful for the age that we were both at once we finally did have kids, because I do feel like with experience of being disappointed when you're trying to have a vision and force something to happen exactly how you foresaw it 6 months or years in advance, and it not happening that way, and like not letting the anxiety totally drag you into a state of depression when things look differently, but instead embracing that new vision of how it's happening and unfolding in the moment, and understanding that that's exactly, how it's meant to be. And I think staying in that like present space, yeah, it was a huge challenge for me 10 years ago. And now it feels, I mean, especially as a parent, it's like you have no choice with these little people here, to be like right there. So I think it it was like a serious training ground to kind of get to that point. And in a way, like being trained as an architect is kind of like that too, because it is
Okay.
very left and right brain, where there's this like wildly creative, fluid portion of like bringing the ideas to paper. But then, yeah, there's a lot of like technical skill that needs to happen to like really make it manifest in the physical realm. So it's kind of like, yeah, you're right, this dichotomy of selves trying to
Yeah.
like allow it all to happen in the same space and time.
I
And
love
yeah,
it. I
that's a
think
lot
it's
of.
fascinating. So, Andrew, were you like the barometer for Jessica when were you the one that, because my husband's the one, he's the more emotional, but I don't know. He brings me down from my checklist, I guess.
You know, I think I'm actually
That's good.
the more of the type A in our relationship.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
I mean,
Yeah,
but
that this is different.
I'm also I do a lot of creative things and I expand in a lot of directions. I get really excited about things. I get really I get emotionally involved in everything. So I'm like I don't know how
It's
I would
just
describe myself. Like, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole myself too much,
no.
but I think you know what it kind of you know came down to for us, like when we well, I'll do a plug for vaginal steaming here in
Yes.
regards to what she said, because I think that practice, like a big part of what we're trying to do with the brand and the vision and the goal of the company, is to like reframe the or help women to reframe the relationship that they have to this, you know, part of their bodies. And I know for Jessica, part of her story, like if you take it all the way back to childhood, you know, when we grew up, I mean, we're, you know, in our early 40s now, but you know, she'll say like, I didn't know, you know, anything about my period when I was growing up, you know, and it was
Yeah.
culturally kind of taboo. And some, you know, I was kind of conditioned to neglect this part of my body and the menstrual cycle and to sort of like, you know, she talks about like tightening and how tightening as a woman is like sort of a default state when you're like, especially if you're in a, you know, a place energetically like New York City or professionally, like the architectural world, where everything is this type A box, like hard, like tight, like you're moving through. And then with women dealing with a lot of men coming at you, like there's this tightening in that part of the body. And physically, the steaming is all about like opening and releasing and receiving too. And, you know, being open to that type of, you know, open energetically, which, like, in a sort of psycho-spiritual context, in general, if we're talking about like energies of the universe, I feel like that's a thing that is going around now, making the rounds in the podcast world. The idea of like being an open channel to receiving whatever is coming your way, that's something like we're all kind of working on as people. And so I feel like that played a big role, you know, even for you personally, not only getting ready, you know, to have children, but like in that, what you're talking about, that spectrum of the pendulum, like, you know,
Yeah.
swinging farther on one way, like discovering this practice, I feel like was like pretty pivotal for you. And that was, you know, that's been a big inspiration in trying to help share that with, you know, with other women.
Oh, I'm
Would you
glad.
agree?
I'm really glad I asked that question. You decide you want to get pregnant and you're very intentional about it. So take us through, you know, getting pregnant, having the first baby, and then on through. Because you told me the launch of the first Kickstarter was 3 days before she was born. So, but you were real intentional. You guys decided to get pregnant and you tried to get pregnant. So take me through kind of that journey of your pregnancy.
It was really fun and exciting to kind of switch roles on like how we were preventing pregnancy to really going for it. So that part was really fun. We had moved out of New York City at that time and we were living in this little house in the woods of Pawling, New York, in this 250-year-old farmhouse. So we kind of, I don't know, I could feel like there was probably hundreds of babies born there, you know, over
Yeah, probably. Yes.
like, so it felt really relaxing, I guess, to be away from the city and calling in this time. And I think it took us like 4 or 5 months to get the positive results. And That I actually have done a birth doula training myself, so I was
Oh,
pretty
yes.
aware of like all of the different ways women can birth.
Yeah.
And I just at first had this attitude, well, our insurance is covering a hospital birth. I feel like I'm in a mental place where I could really be in any environment and make this beautiful and however I want it to be, which I think there's a lot of truth in that, but I also feel like I have options and agency and letting, the financial piece 100% dictate the decision like wasn't really resonating, but I was again trying to like make that work the first few months of
Yeah.
pregnancy of like doing most of my early visits with a more traditional OB at a hospital. And then in the background, I'm constantly on social media watching, live births at home, like nowhere near at all like what my doctor visits looked like.
Right.
So slowly I had to reconcile those things as I got closer and closer to the due date. I did have a doula who was amazing, and she was kind of like ushering me through that shift in recognizing what we really wanted and what felt really resonant with us was home birth. So I didn't fully officially, I ended up switching to midwives in the hospital. I was trying a lot of different things, being like a first timer diving into this.
Yeah.
Totally disappointed and thrown off by so many things I was told, like, oh, you're of advanced maternal age. We will let you go to 39 weeks. At 39 weeks, you'll be induced, all the things. And like none of it was landing right with me. Or, oh, you're, 37 years old, your cardiovascular system won't be able to manage birth and labor the way a 25-year-old is, just like if you tried to run a marathon right now versus, it was really like negative talk to somebody who's come, and I was feeling amazing. Like
Yeah.
I knew there's just a knowing. At first, I was really listening to the experts, and letting them really tell me how this works because I had never done this before. But the more and more pregnant I got, like the closer I was getting to the anticipated day of birth, I just felt like, oh, I know how to do this. My baby and my body knows how to do this. Just more and more empowered and more clear, like I'm gonna choose my birth team now. And I was, I think, 32 or 33 weeks pregnant when I started going to like home birth
Awesome.
midwives, being like, will you take me? I know it's my first time. I know I'm an old lady over here, but like everything's looking great. And this is what I really, really want. And they really made me like declare, this is what I really, really want. They need to
Yeah.
hear that if you're going to make such a big shift and someone take you on when they didn't really know like your entire history, your pregnancy. So, long story a little bit shorter, I had a home birth in this 250-year-old farmhouse. I went into labor
Cottage. Let's call it a cottage.
at a cottage.
We're not talking a big, it's a small,
Yeah,
very
it was very small. It
small.
was basically like a one room space. I don't know. Ours, I could, should I tell the birth story? I mean, that's
You can.
another
I would.
story. It
Hey,
was,
let me drop some Andrew.
Okay, Andrew Lines.
Drop some Andrew, please. Yes.
Okay. So back to the beginning when we decided to get pregnant, to try. It was very intentional, and like Jessica said, it was a like a 4 month process. But when I look back on it, it's so interesting for me the way that it all played out, because I just feel really blessed to have had the opportunity that we did, and blessed that it happened in the way that it did, because it was like a slow intentionality. Like, it was over this 4 month time period, we got more and more intentional about it with each month, until the 4th month. In the beginning, it was like, oh, we're going to start trying. It was like, okay, pull the goalie or whatever. And then the
I love that.
second,
Pull the goalie. Yes.
and then the, but the 2nd month, it was like, okay, well, let's start really paying attention to like when you're ovulating, right? And so you started, doing that more and used some various methods to do that. And then we even, then we got like even more conscious about it, and we did. I don't know if you're familiar with spirit babies, but we did. There's a book called Spirit Babies that we took some inspiration from, where we were like doing a conscious, ritual to call in the spirit of the child, and tell whoever this child was that we were ready, and that we wanted the child to come in. And then there was some, intentional vaginal steaming in that process as well. So it was like all these things culminated, and then we were like really like doing it at specific times, and like really like honing in to the length between the times that we were, trying to conceive, like during the ovulation window. And so it was like, you know, hyper intentional. So that happened, like, and then it happened, and then it happened, and it just felt like it coincided with like our intentionality of it to happen, which was beautiful. It just felt like that just was, I thought that was so cool. And then, yeah, as she mentioned, we went through this spectrum of care providers. My initial thoughts coming into it as somebody who had, you know, first time parent, but, you know, first time on the journey, I had the subconscious programming of, I didn't know what a midwife was. I didn't know what a doula was. And immediately my first thought was, and I mean, I realized after I learned going through this process with her that this was just a level of programming that was baked into me. It didn't have any necessarily other rhyme or reason, but it was, we need to go to an OBGYN. Why would you not go to an OBGYN? They are the experts. They know. But our experience with the OBGYN that we first went to was absolutely terrible. The way that, you know, he conducted himself was like totally shameful. The way that he treated my wife was awful. The expectations that he had of us, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that like we walked out of this guy's office and she was in tears.
This was like my very first, or maybe it was my second appointment.
We had scheduled an ultrasound. And but he we hadn't signed on with him as our official care provider, because first, before we went to him, you went to a birth center here in Danbury. There's a birth center, so, but that was outside of our insurance coverage. We were living in New York. The birth center was in Connecticut. You know, the insurance wasn't going to work out. So then we're like, okay, let's get out of this birth center and check this OB out. So we hadn't signed on with him as a care provider, and he basically sat us down in his office and threatened us. You know, he was like, listen, you are either on board with me or you're not. We're like, we just met you. We're like, we scheduled an ultrasound. It was time for her to have this second ultrasound, I believe it was. He wouldn't give us the ultrasound unless we committed to him right then and there, you know, to do the whole thing with him. And I'm like, why would we commit to, you know? So he basically kind of kicked us out without giving us the service that we had
It
scheduled
was really
for.
bizarre. But again, it was just like one of those things that almost needed to happen for me to slowly start to realize, like, oh, I have like agency in this, and I really need to figure out what it is that I want for my team. You know, like where the birthing person and the baby are really the centerpiece of how this all works, not
And I
necessarily the
mean,
doctor.
like, it's crazy to me that OBs exist still that feel like they can bully you into doing what they want from the very beginning of your pregnancy like that and signing up with him. Like the last, I'd never let a plumber bully me. I'd never let, like, no, an attorney, like nobody's. But then we get pregnant and somehow we get into this cycle of obstetric bullying, unfortunately. And
Unbelievable. It's
I'm glad that it's less now. You know, it's people are very aware. And that was a, you're right. Those are the experiences where you're like, wait, this is not the way we want to do this at all. Bad team, not a good team. He's not a player. We're done.
fired.
You're fired. Good for you. Good for you, Andrew, also for seeing that. Often I find that women are pulled in a direction and men are like, yeah, but I don't know the answers and I'm afraid and I have to support my wife in this, which is why doulas are great because you know her intimately, but I know birth work and we can come together and work together as a team for the woman who's laboring. I think that's really important because women put the onus of doing everything, being the support, the advocate, knowing the stuff on their husband, who may be the greatest guy in the world, but doesn't know anything about this situation and is also getting bullied by medical team to like, oh, if you want what's best interest of your wife, you're gonna do this. And you know, like it's ridiculous. So good for you for realizing, because a lot of men are like, no, I just want the OB to tell me what to do because I don't want to be put in that position. So it's tough all the way around. You had the home birth though. The midwives came on and you had the home birth, and you describe both your births as like a birth in a bubble.
Yes, like right, you know, after it's probably like 6 or 7, 6 hours of laboring around like 1:30 in the morning was when I really transitioned into the pushing phase. And that's when we started to see this like
But don't you want to tell the day of leading up is really
How long are you?
magical.
Yes, no, the whole thing was incredible because we really like I could feel early in the morning at like 6 or 7 a.m. some of like the cramping come on, and I was sort of and Andrew was out for a run. I was like, oh, it's happening now. You know, you really the first time is so incredible because you really have no sense of how the time works. I mean, you don't for second or third babies either, really, but you really have no context for this until you're like embodying it in the moment. So I wasn't sure, like, am I going to labor like right now? This is it. This is it. But it was sort of those like, you know, introductory contractions of just
Yes.
like, yeah, we're warming up. You know, we're getting things moving. Things are starting to move down. And it was in the middle of July. Our house was like super hot, and but it kind of felt good for me. Like it felt like everything was like softening and opening.
No air conditioning. Who
Most people
needs
would hate
that?
that, I think, a pregnant person, but I was kind of into it at the time. But anyway, Andrew was away, and we actually had an ultrasound scheduled for that day because I was already 41 weeks, I think, in 2 days or 1 day. And so our midwife said, hey, if you want to do a biophysical profile, you can do that just to kind of check in because I was past the expected date, but it wasn't like a mandatory thing. But I was curious. So even though I was feeling that way, Andrew came home and it had all stopped. And I was like, I guess we'd still go to this appointment. So it's kind of funny moment too, because the that ultrasound was at the very first OB office, not the guy that we just described, but a different one. Because our midwife has to just order the ultrasound kind of separately. So we got to choose where we do that. So we drove down, did the ultrasound. Then we
We saw the receptionist people there, and they hadn't seen us in a long time. And it was kind of this funny thing because there we were. She was
Like,
about to
why are
have
you
the
back here?
baby. We had left. We had decided that wasn't, the right path for us either. And when we got there and did the ultrasound, it was kind of this reconfirmation of the moment where we're like, oh, we're really glad we're not doing this here or at the hospital. Like, we're just coming here to make a quick stop in, and then we're gonna go home and have this baby where it's supposed to be had.
And my doula was messaging me saying, oh, yeah, sounds like things are getting started. You know, relax, enjoy your day with your husband, go spend time outside, maybe go for a swim, have some meals together. It could be later today, it could be next week. You know, we just don't know. So I was like, oh, okay, next week. I have tons of time then. And things had, you know, I had like those morning sensations, but then it had kind of gone away. And so we went out to lunch. We went, our friend has this beautiful property where he has like this big pond and a little sauna kind of cantilevering out on the side edge of the pond. So we decided to go there, go for a hike, go swimming in his pond. There were all these like iridescent blue dragonflies. I do feel like when you're approaching like birth and labor and you're right on the cusp of like those worlds, thing everything starts to feel like ethereal and like more and more magical. So I was really grateful that I had that time to like soak that in and start to feel like the juices of of the hormonal shifts of birth. It's pretty trippy, and I was like really in the thick of it then, now looking back. So we
She was
swam,
just
yeah,
like swimming naked in the pond,
floating,
pregnant
living my
with
best
these
life.
beautiful
Yeah,
babies.
that is. No clue what was ahead of me, which was like the most intense work of my life, but also like extremely satisfying. And after we got out from swimming, that's when I started to notice like some of the brownish, bloody show, like mucus coming out. And I was taking pictures of it on a tissue and texting it to the doula. And she's like, okay, kind of same thing, like really calm, cool, collected, like this could mean this or that, or you know, we don't totally know.
I mean, I think the important thing to remember is that once you hit that 37 or 38 weeks, you know, an OB will say, well, bloody show, it's a sign you're going to go in labor. Everything in your body is a sign that you're good. And guess what? You're going to go into labor. Like eventually this baby's coming out. And so I always think it's interesting, like, oh, we could strip your membranes, get you going into labor. Like everything's about going into labor. And I'm like, one, it's going to happen no matter what. And two, everything is a sign that your body's changing and getting ready for labor. So it's always fascinating to me. It could mean today and it could mean next week. It's everything's a sign. Your body's getting ready to go into labor because you're going to have a baby.
And
So,
that's we're so grateful that our doula gave us that message in that way, that you just described too, because that's not what we would have gotten from the OB. I'm sure
No,
of it.
they would have
Like
had you
it's
in on Pitocin, but that's fine. That's fine. So you have the baby, and it went the way, I mean, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful experience. And yes, it's hard work, right? Having a baby is a lot of work.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I labored quite well, but I think you're kind of like in a state of shock. Like, this is what this feels like. I'm grateful that I was able to do this at home and that my body and baby and everything was like healthy and working the way it should. But even when it's all working seamlessly the way it should, it's like nothing you've ever felt before. So that can be terrifying. Like, am I
Yes.
dying? Is my the lower half of my body blowing off and shooting across the street? Like, it can feel like that. But I think
Yep.
I'm just grateful for all the work I had been doing in preparation of this, of really reading and understanding all the story, all the positive stories, and all like the
Yep.
beautiful ways that this just happens. We have this innate wisdom built into our DNA from like generations and generations. So it felt like such an honor to like really be in the thick of that. So even when it was its most challenging moments, it's still about that oscillation process or the pendulum that we were talking about
Yes.
before. It's like you can get that anxiety and fear of these wild sensations pulling you all the way that way. And like, how can we bring ourselves back to center? And I think when we're staying in that center place, like things are progressing. So I really got to like experience what that feels like in birth, because I think that's like the ultimate test of like, yeah, being able to just stay in that moment with what it
Yeah.
feels like right now and trust and understand that this is actually quite normal and this is what our bodies are designed to do. So I got to really experience that with my first birth. I was in a pool for a bit, kind of laboring, but I ended up actually in like a sideline position on our sofa. And right as, the pushing phase was happening, we started to see like this, what looked almost like a crystal ball emerging like out of my vaginal opening. And actually, by the time the midwives got there, I was, remember, they kind of like wanted to check and just understand where I was at when they arrived. And I remember the midwife
Drowning.
saying, "Yeah, Jessica, you no longer have a vagina. You have a birth canal." And I was like, okay. It was kind of like really disorienting the way she like announced this, like I was in a circus,
That
but
would be, yes, ta-da.
but she was right. It was, yeah, the baby was coming. I was crowning this, the amniotic sac was what was first kind of coming
Yes.
through. And again, I really attribute so much to this practice I had of steaming, of like really softening all like those tissues. My perineum, vaginal opening were generally, I mean, I think they are hormonally anyway. It was relaxing and all the other stuff happening of softening and being able to be like stretchy and pliable and squishy. Like I had all that stuff happening. And yeah, Andrew always described it as a crystal ball that started to emerge. And that pushing
Yeah, I
phase was a
mean,
lot for
well,
me.
started as this tiny little
Yeah.
like a pearl. And I was like, what is going on here? Because we didn't, I mean, I get your water hadn't broken,
Right.
but we weren't sure. I don't know. I mean, I had seen some birth videos to that point, but when I was witnessing, her going into active labor, it was just like with each contraction, there was this little, what started out as this tiny little pearl that slowly like got a little bigger, and then it was like a little ball, and then at the end it was like a giant crystal ball, like this iridescent crystal ball that was just like coming out of her vagina. And I was like, whoa, this is unbelievable. I mean, it was like the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I just couldn't believe it. But yeah, I'll let you finish the
And I
birth
think too, because
story.
it was like the middle of the night or like early hours of the morning, it was like very dark in our
Yes.
space, and the midwife's assistant had like a flashlight, I guess, on it. So you could really see. I couldn't see any of it. The only reason I know about any of this is because she took a video as well. So I got to see it. But she, because of like that light kind of piercing through at
Yep.
the bubble, we could see like the vernix floating around. So when he's saying like a pearl, it really is incredible
It's
what these little
incredible.
beings like grow into. And so once, most of that fluid-filled sac was crowning and coming through, then with the second contraction, our daughter Yarrow's head came through and filled it, almost like shrink wrapped into it.
Yeah.
And then the midwife started kind of checking for cord as the head was out. So then she kind of lifted the veil,
Yeah.
as they call it, over her head, and with this another push, There she
That,
was.
I think you mentioned something like, yes, you have all of this relaxin, you have all these hormones that are naturally getting your tissue and your body ready. And that, true science, that's great. I think also, most women fight that to some degree in the labor and delivery because it is uncomfortable and hard. And you, because you're using the vaginal steaming and you've been doing it for a while, you're coming from the opposite mindset of using another tool to relax your body and to stick keep those tissues soft and relaxed, where most women come into that and can kind of like fight it. And so it's possible to have absolutely, I think birth is magical, like no matter what. And you guys had an amazing experience. And I think, there's lots of parts of that because you were older, because you guys did wait, because you were really excited, because you were very in tune. But also, you're using your own product that you're developing to make sure that you're adding another tool to keep everything soft and relaxed. And I think that mindset for those years of using it and doing it probably went a long way in you not fighting your body. So
Yeah, I
that's
think that's really
another shout
true.
out for what you're creating here. Unintentional commercial for you. But really, your mindset was different, and that was because of the product that you were designing.
I think that's really true. And I think, yeah, traditionally, or like the more cliche we see when a woman's in labor and like crowning is like, push, push, like everyone's screaming this command. So I think you're thinking like, oh, I have to get this out fast and quickly. Like, this is, I'm finally at this moment, I want it to end. But like, yeah, like for me at least, it felt like the key was just to like surrender to what my body was already doing and not try to add any fuel, or not knowing that I didn't really need to do that. And I think that helped, yeah, or not trying to do anything quickly at all was really helpful.
And
And
go ahead.
I would say I did have some minor tearing, and that traditionally for postpartum recovery is like probably the most well-documented use of vaginal steaming. So that was like an amazing tool to use in the months postpartum. I mean, tearing can be a very vulnerable thing too, and I did get a few stitches. And I waited until those were like more or less dissolved before starting a more regular steam practice after childbirth. But it was such like a soothing, relaxing way to treat that part of my body after it had really gone through this like hyper vulnerable transformation.
I love that. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I know about a year and a half later, you guys got pregnant again and suffered a miscarriage. And like my heart, I do bereavement pro bono. I've had three myself, and I feel that pretty strongly with other people. And then you waited and got pregnant again, and you had a second bubble baby. Not, that's funny. Not the way we
Bubble
think.
boy.
A bubble boy. You had the bubble
A
girl.
boy and a
Anyway.
bubble.
Yes, you really felt you had a similar experience. What I'd like you to do is kind of bridge that gap. You had your second birth. Was it very similar to the first experience? And where was your business at this time? And then we can kind of catch up to now, because in all your show links, we have the links for everything that you guys do, the website, the product, finding you, all of that stuff. So I know it's in production, but last we left off, it was 3 days before your first Kickstart. So can you bridge that gap?
Yeah, so my son's birth, which was now about 18 months ago, was
Okay.
similar in that I was very relaxed and chill, almost so much so that I didn't realize how quickly things were happening. And they always say, like, with your sequential births, things do happen quick. So I think that was the big difference, is that I had a much quicker labor. I think I started to feel some things in the middle of the night, but around 11 a.m., I'd say I went into active labor, and he was born at 3 p.m. So pretty quick, all things considered.
Yeah.
And I think that was more of like a mental game for me, where things were happening so fast and it was the middle of the day. Like, I'm like, oh, birth happens at night when everything's dark and you go into your cave. Of course, babies are born at every second of every day, but I just like hadn't considered daytime for some reason. That wasn't my first experience. So yeah, he was born in the afternoon. And yeah, it was super fast. So I think he knew what was happening. My body knew what was happening, but my brain was like, hold up, I need to slow things down. Our doula wasn't even at our home yet when I really felt like I was transitioning and like ready to go and that he was
Yeah.
like coming. So I think she got there like 45 minutes before he was born, and the midwife was there 30 minutes. And I probably could have, birthed unassisted like hours before, but I was just like laying flat on my back, almost trying
Got
desperately
it.
to like wait till like
Slow
more
down.
people. Yeah, I needed like more support around me at the time. So that was like the key difference. But also similarly with the bubble, this time like the sack almost like descended out of
It was
my
like a, it was
full.
like a, it was like a fast forward version of the first birth, just like
Okay.
bloop, 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 bloop. Like,
Done.
yeah, I mean, and in the meantime, and it happened on the same couch, but we had moved to a new house and we had been hustling and grinding away at like bringing that product to market. You know, the vaginal steam seats, we thought that they were going to be within a few months of our daughter's birth. And then, you know, no, here we are like 2 years later. We still like, you know, hadn't even delivered the product to our first customers who had pre-purchased them on Kickstarter, you know, 3 years prior. So, but we had made a lot of progress. It was just like slowly, steadily, you know, moving along. And we moved into the house that we currently live. Like we were able to buy a house. And that was a crazy thing because we had a fire in our last house, the little farmhouse, and we had had a little baby girl there, and we had to. Like it was COVID. I had a broken leg. I had leg surgery. The housing market was insane. We didn't think we were ever going to get out of that tiny little house, which was like our honeymoon dream, but not a place to be raising small children. And
Right.
we landed in this house. We got really lucky. And so yeah, that's, you know, our second home birth was in the home that we are in now, that we now live in. And the
Wow.
business, you know, it was coming along. But when Knox, our son, came out, it was crazy because, yeah, middle of the afternoon. And the first time around, it was the 6 hours of labor. Our daughter was born at 3:11 in the morning. And, you know, there was the squeezing of the hand, right? Like I was right there with her. And with every
That's
contraction, she
painful.
was crushing my hand. And I
Yes.
remember like being downstairs in our basement here on the couch. And it's like the middle of the afternoon. And I'm like settling in for the long haul, you know, like she grabs my hand, she starts squeezing it, and I'm like, dang, this is like a hard squeeze. This is like how the squeezes were. And I
This
was
is
like,
an
all right.
8 centimeter squeeze, not a
Yeah,
four
yeah,
centimeter squeeze. Yeah, no,
yeah.
I know, I
It
know.
was like that, but I also was not, I was like, no ways. I'm like, she's like, I just thought she's squeezing harder this time. And I thought I was gonna be in it for another 6 hours of this squeezing. And I was like, all right. I'm here. Let's do it. And then it was like 15 minutes later, boom, baby came, bubble came out. And it wasn't like the slow pearl growing. This time it was just like sack, boom, baby,
Baby.
boom. You know, sack, baby fills sack, baby comes out, and
Done. I had a baby.
you're
It
done.
probably, in a way, it was more of like a testament to how like normal and real birth can be, where it's just like an everyday. I mean, it wasn't an everyday event, but it just felt really like, yeah, I just had a baby today. Done. Like it felt really simple in some aspects compared to the first birth, and just like an everyday activity. I had, really set the scene down there where I was really like, I'm very much into ceremony and ritual, and I was like, okay, I've got my music, I have this thing set up. This I didn't get to use any of those
The
tools,
pool, we
which
had
was
the
also kind
pool.
of humbling
You didn't
too,
get to
just to
use
be like, you know what, no tchotchke, you
nothing.
don't need any of your tchotchkes. We're coming out with a baby today, So there's a part of me that was kind of like grieving the slow, ceremony part of birth, which it wasn't really what this one was, but I don't think anyone in my position should complain about that, because it was like also just,
It was
fast,
so
and
good. It was
it was fast.
so
It was
nice.
over
I
in
mean,
a
it was like
jiffy.
so much not, like easier than what we expected. I mean, I can't speak for you. I mean,
It's not easy. It's not
not saying it
was
was
it easy
easy.
on you, Andrew?
No, it's not easy. No. I know, it's not e easy is like not a word that should ever
No,
be
it's
used.
not, but you're right. I mean, that's a great way to describe it, 'cause I think about I had four natural births, and the first one was hospital, and I was a transport for very good reason. It saved my daughter, and that taught me intuition and that you can have a beautiful experience anywhere you go, even in a pretty urgent situation. Love that. But then my home births, you're right. Like it was exactly like you said. It was just a day that you had this baby, and it wasn't easy. But it was just natural. It was
It was
just
like part of being alive that
It was
day. It
just,
was like a
yeah.
thing that our body did. And then the next
Yeah.
day came and it didn't do that again. Like, I
Right.
don't know how
I don't
it's.
either, but you're right. That is what it was like. Like, oh, cool. This, like, what are you doing today? I don't know. Well, let's have a baby today. Cool.
And our whole
But
neighborhood was like, I'm sorry, what just happened over there? And my older neighbor Janet across the street was like, they were all very worried about like home birth and
yes.
that I was doing that. I was like, I just didn't need any of their energy, but it was sort of, I was grateful that I got to like come out the next day and be like, see, everything happens just
Ta-da.
as it does. So yeah,
Yeah.
it was
And it really
interesting.
can. It yes, it can. Now, they're how far apart are the two kids?
They're 3 years apart.
Okay, so we've got like 5.5 years that you guys were designing. Is that right? Am I right for now? Has it been 5.5 years since you guys started, or maybe a little longer than that?
A little longer. So it was
Longer.
like 2016 when we really like got this idea,
Okay.
2019 that we did the Kickstarter. So from
Oh, yeah.
2019 into just almost a year ago. So
8 years. Okay.
February, yeah, 8 years really. So last February,
Yeah, you'd be
2023,
in the 8th year, I guess, since
that
we. Yes.
February, like last year, was when we first delivered the first fleet of seats to our early crowdfunding backers and pre-orders. And so it's really just been this past year that we've had them finally as like a physical, tangible thing to share with the world. And they're now like warehoused here and we're selling through our website, Lay
Oh,
and
I'm so
Moon.
proud of you guys. 8 years.
Yeah, it's like
And
another baby. But it's been part of this
right?
process of becoming parents. And I think maybe that's
Yes.
as we're talking through all this, I'm like, oh, you know, it's like everything's aligning just as it needed to for when we're ready to share this more publicly. And yeah, it's been confusing how long it's taken, but we really like wanted to ensure that it's of like the highest quality and kind of solving a lot of the problems that people, there's a lot of like backlash in the media about seeming of like, oh, you can burn yourself, you're gonna
Yes.
do something wrong. And so we wanted to like harness the technology of today to be able to bring this like ancient way of deeply caring for this part of our body back into our more modern lifestyles in a way that was going to make it just more at the ready, like easy to set up and clean up and do, and super safe. It also has infrared light therapy built into the
Oh,
seats. We
okay.
kind of even like use some of the more modern.
Combination near infrared, red light. Yeah, it's the only steam seat that has that. So it took a long time because there were a lot of factors at play. I mean, we made our first prototype relatively quickly, but then we discovered that we weren't really working with a quality manufacturer. And we had this vision of we want to build a temperature control system because the fear of getting burned is like a legitimate one. And it has
Yes.
happened when, you know, women have done this. So now if you can do it correctly, like in a traditional fashion without burning yourself, but nonetheless, it's still really difficult to control the temperature of the steam and do that in a comfortable way, or, you know, make sure that it's not too hot or too cold, or that it stays hot long enough for as long as you want, and that you're comfortable there doing it. So we were like, this is what we want. And we were sort of dictating our wants to our manufacturing partner, and then realizing like they didn't have the capability of creating what we needed. And, you know, so then there was a lot of processes there, you know, finding consultants and engineers. And then, but we had a successful Kickstarter and that attracted the attention of some better manufacturers. Then we had to remake molds for the product and we had to partner with a manufacturer to develop the technology that we now have a patent for. So we have the only patented temperature control system. You know, it's at, you can program it to the degree, the exact degree of the temperature of the steam that you want. So it's got this range of temperatures and there's a sensor. You know, we're really proud of the tech that we put into it, and it's the only one that has that capability. And then near infrared red lights, those have their own other set of benefits, and that's been, you know, blowing up right now in with the Joovv lights and everything else. But yeah, we honed into that in the beginning of the design phase too. You know, the 660, 850 nanometer combination. It's those two combinations of wavelengths that are, you know, have all of the scientific benefits. I mean, there's the plethora of scientific research kind of really hones in on those two as being the most beneficial. And so we have that built in as well. And we have, you know, a variety, different varieties of herb blends that you can use in the product for different purposes. So, You know, you might be steaming for different reasons or at different life phases or even different phases within your cycle that you might want to be steaming
Ah,
for different
right.
purposes. So we have all organic herbs. Like Jessica hand mixes our herbs that we source from US farms, organic, they're, you know, solar dried, like you name it. We source the highest quality herbs to make our own vaginal steam blends. And when I say we, it's really Jessica that does that. And those come with the steam
But also,
seat.
I have a
There's like a
husband that's like such a supporter of women's practices like this and a vaginal steaming, which I also feel like I'm not sure I would be. We say this to each other all the time. We're like not sure that either of us would be doing this without
independently.
each other. Yeah. So I went from being, you know, the musical soulmate to kind of this like divine feminine
Yeah.
soulmate, Andrew, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, it's been like a 12-year journey since that point.
I love that it started out with you at this women's circle, seeing the benefit and going through how challenging it is just to do something that should not be that challenging, that should be like all the things that you made your product to be, right? It why wouldn't it be easier to do this? And you kind of limped along through all of that, through then two pregnancies, a miscarriage, getting pregnant, your fertility cycle, your normal menstrual cycle. Like you've taken this through from the initial cast iron pot scenario all the way through everything. So, I mean, who better to make those tweaks and see how to make that happen than someone who's taken it from that women's circle all the way through to where it is now? So, I am just ultimately proud of you and so grateful you guys were on the podcast today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. And yeah, a really good way to like wrap that up is that just being able to really experience the nuance of this practice through these different, you know, rites of passage that we have as women. I really feel like I got to embody that before being in this position of sharing more. So I'm grateful for that too.